Very different, completely different. To give a message, yes, there is a public meeting, you are behind the radio, behind the television. There are certain things we must remember to do and certain things not to do when you are giving the message. I'm just talking about proclamation activities, like giving the message of Baha'u'llah in a public meeting. Remember, I'll tell you another story which perhaps will illustrate this. There was a man who for 10 years was telling me he did not become a Baha'i. And I asked him why was this. He said the first public meeting I went to, somebody was talking about spiritual things, said spiritual assembly, spiritual this, spiritual that. Several times he used the word spiritual. And he said, I thought Baha'is are spiritualists. And I didn't like spiritualists. So any time during these 10 years that people talk to me about the faith, I said, this is not for me. You see how one innocent word could get into somebody's mind in the wrong way and deprive him of coming close to the faith. Well, I'm not saying it was bad to say spiritual things, but this man got the wrong end of the stick. People who have never heard of the faith before, never heard of it before, if you give them a talk which is full of new things, it's too much. They are going to hear some things which they do not maybe understand or may do not accept. And you always remember the things that you do not accept. If you put yourself in this place, you go to a meeting somewhere, meet some people. They are going to talk about their ideology. What remains with you are the things that you do not accept. Now, say for instance, now you go out today, hold a meeting, public meeting, invite people there, and somebody stands up and talks about the faith. Innocently, very innocently. Say for instance, do it this way. Say, you know what the Baha'i faith is? It's the faith of love. We love everybody. We love each other. Yeah, do that a couple of times. People who have no spiritual background, they're going to say, these are the people that we were hearing about. You know, this laxity in their moral standards is such that they say they love each other. Now, you see, you have to be very clear of what you're saying. You have to be so clear in what you're saying that it will not give people the wrong impressions, the wrong things. And therefore, we come to this conclusion that in such a talk which is given to the public, giving them the message of Baha'u'llah, not teaching them, we must be concise, we must weigh our words, we must not confuse the mind with a lot of names and histories, starting from Shiraz and the Bab and then the Siachal and Tehran and Baha'u'llah and Adrianople and Akka and Constantinople and the house and the Abdul Baha and Shoghi Effendi and the House of Justice and the teachings and the laws. This, you're killing him. You're finished with him. You're trying to give him the message. You're not teaching him here. You're giving him the message. Now Shoghi Effendi tells us how we should give the message. He says you should follow the example of Abdul Baha's talks in Europe and America. You read the talks of Abdul Baha in Europe and America. Do you know what it is like? It's 10 minutes, sometimes less. And if you take out the 10 minutes talk. And what does he say? Never a controversial subject. Never a theological subject which somebody could come and argue with you. If you ever create an arguing, a person who comes and argues with you in when you are giving the message, then that's the end of it. We must give the faith when you give the message in a public meeting, should be so simple. So simple. And talk about something that people cannot disagree with. So that when the man leaves the hall, he will say, well, I agree with this. That's good enough. You've done a good job. Remember, you're not teaching him the faith. Look at what Abdul Baha said. He talks, I'm saying you should say Baha'i. You should say the word Baha'u'llah. But please don't use the word Abdul Baha and Shoghi Effendi and all the rest of it. You're confusing the man. Just Baha'u'llah is enough. What is the difference? And then what you can say, as Abdu'l-Bahá said, you know, if he ever wanted to say something about Baha'u'lláh, and he said Baha'u'lláh has come in Persia, he has brought us these teachings, and many people have changed as a result of this, their hearts have changed, they have become beautiful people, and today I want to talk to you about one of the teachings or two of the teachings of Baha'u'lláh. And that's it. And what he said, it was something that nobody could disagree with. Now this is giving the message. But what we do, we go to teach the faith there in a public meeting. You can't do that. And I feel this is one of the problems we have. One of the major problems we have is this. We have to know how to give the message. You go and meet somebody in the streets, you want to tell him about the faith? You can't teach him there. You have to give him the message in a very nice way, in your own way. Whatever you say has to be simple. To attract him to yourself, to attract him to the cause. By all means, you can talk about some teachings, there it is, but not to go involve yourself in like a football match. You say something and he says something else, and you say something and he refutes and you refute, then that's the end of it. How teaching is different from this proclamation and giving the message. How different it is. Teaching, I'll tell you quickly now, in 2 or 3 minutes. You know, teaching, if you want to teach somebody, and this is what Baha'u'llah has said, this is what Abdu'l-Bahá has said, you must know that person. You must come to know him, you must love him, and sometimes maybe you have to approach him for months in your spiritual arms, you must embrace him, pray for him. And then, when you know, and then you begin to know him, and then you know what he believes in. How can you ever teach the faith to somebody without knowing what his beliefs are? Is he a Muslim? Is he a Christian? Is he an atheist? Is he an agnostic? What ideas he has? And then, having known all these things, and having loved him, and having attracted to him, you can bring him to your home and give him a cup of coffee, and there you can sit down, and then Baha'u'llah says, give him a little thing, not too much. Just a little. He says when you're dealing with a child, you give him milk, not a big meal. If you give him a big steak, he's going to go. You must decide what is then the best thing to give it to him. What's the best thing? It's just like his doctors. I know, for instance, in our family, my wife is very fond of this homeopathy, and I think it's a very good way of dealing with medicine and medical things. Now, how do they do it is that the doctor will recognize in you what you need to stimulate you, and he gives you a little bit of it. And that little thing which he gives you stimulates you is ready for the next dose tomorrow, in a few hours. And it's the same thing with the faith. You must know the person in wisdom and tell him some things. And sometimes you must not tell him some things. And even if you ask you a question, if you tell him something, it will be too much for him. It's going to put him off. You don't have to answer every question. You have to be able to bring him back to square one, which is the origin of the faith. It's the same thing with any profession. If you are a carpenter and somebody comes to you and he says, look, I don't know anything about carpentry, but I want to make this table with you today. You won't let him to make this table with you today because this fellow doesn't know how to hold a saw in his hand yet. You have to teach him first, prepare him for it for months before you can say, now this is the way you make the table. It's the same thing with the faith. If he has a basic question which is far ahead of him, you have to bring him back to the origin and try to begin to teach him. There are many things, and this is not a platform, I'm afraid, for explaining how to teach the faith. But in Europe, I hope that I can. I'm hoping that as we go back now, and in some countries in Ireland, we've had some seminars for this of how to teach the faith, and it has been, I think, useful because it's essential to know so many things. I'll give you one example of this and then I'll close. One person came to us, a woman, she said, I have a friend. And I have met him, she said, only a few days ago. I've told him about the faith. And I want you to talk to him. I said, well, I can't talk to him unless I know what he believes in. How can I tell him anything? Oh, she said, he just knows about the teachings. He's an open-minded person. He's an educated person. Anyhow, he came to our house and we sat down and it wasn't in our house. It was somewhere else. He came in and he said, well, look, I've heard about your teachings and I like it. And I saw he's a very enlightened man, a businessman, very educated and so on. But he said, one thing I cannot accept. I want my freedom to drink alcohol if I want to. Nobody is going to tell me I shouldn't. I know when to stop, and I know I'm an adult, and this and that. Now, what am I going to do with him? If I begin to tell him all the bad things about alcohol, he is going for hours to argue with me. When we are going to enter into argument like a football match again, backwards and forwards, he says it and I will say it, and this is no use. But you know, if this man becomes a Baha'i, this would be no problem for him. He'll give it up. Isn't that right? This will be finished. It's no problem. Now for me to try to explain to him the good points and the bad points is very premature. So what I said to him, which was surprising, this lady was surprised, I said, don't worry about alcohol, it can be resolved. Oh, we can resolve this way. Now this man thought I'm saying that we can give him a special dispensation. But you know, it is true, it can be resolved. I said, let us talk about other things, which are fundamental things. You don't have to answer every question which comes to you, and then you involve yourself ahead of time, like this carpenter who involves himself in making a man who doesn't know how to hold a saw in his hand to make it. If somebody comes to you and he wants to know about electricity, you can't tell him what electricity is. You tell him, go to college for so many years, learn mathematics and physics, and then come to me, I'll tell you what electricity is. It's the same thing with the faith. If somebody jumps ahead of you, you have to bring him back to the origin. These are some of the techniques that we have to have in teaching the faith. You have to be wise in teaching the faith. Well, now, friends, I think we are far exceeded our time, huh? And that we will probably come back again this afternoon, maybe. We'll see what will happen. What time it is, Mr. Chairman? 1:30. Oh, you have to eat very fast. This is one thing. Oh, I see. There are a lot of questions in here. I'm beginning to feel I'm beginning to feel a little sad, because I think the time is coming soon that we will be departing. I suppose you're all going tomorrow. Some of you probably will be here, but some of you will be gone. And but it has been a marvelous time. I really have enjoyed every minute of it, I must say, being with the friends. And let us go straight away into the subject we were talking. It was about teaching, if you remember. And I was explaining that one of our problems, I believe, is that in our methods of teaching, that we have to learn first of all a difference between these two aspects of presentation of the faith. One is the giving the message and proclamation, and the other is personally teaching and confirming a soul, which is very different thing altogether. Now you see what I meant when I said that if you go into a public meeting and you begin to teach the faith, as we often do at our homes, in firesides, then you could in fact say things which could put people off who are not, you do not know them. You do not know their feelings, their ideas, their backgrounds. And that what we should do is to adapt our talks to their condition, by giving them those teachings which are pleasing and which are not controversial, don't open up controversial subjects or theological subjects when you are giving the message, but just really attract them to the cause, attract them to yourself by giving them something of the teachings which they could leave the room with it and say, that was very nice. But when we're teaching the faith, well, as I mentioned, we have to do things. We have to warm up the person with the love of God. And another thing which is very important in teaching is put yourself out of it, really. Let us not bring ourselves into it. The minute you bring ourselves into it, then this becomes a barrier. We must always, whenever you teach the faith, you must never go alone. And this is one of the very basic principles. Never go alone to teach. Always bring with you Baha'u'llah. And this will enable us to then win the hearts. But Baha'u'llah, it's not always easy to bring Baha'u'llah with us. I want to also mention that. He does not come with us unless we let him. We must let him to come with us. And this may, you might be surprised to hear this. We must let him to come with us. He cannot come otherwise. You see a generator of electricity, a generator. The generator is pouring its energies in the network, in the wires, pouring it. But not until you connect up your light and your instruments to it, will it ever enter into it. It will not be able to energize it unless you let it, unless you open the way, unless you switch it on, unless you connect it to it. It is not the function of the generator to connect something to itself. If you leave a lamp beside the generator for 100 years, the generator cannot say, well, this is really pity, this lamp is sitting beside me, I better connect it to myself. This is not its function. We have to connect it. As soon as you connect it, the energies will come. And it's the same thing with Baha'u'llah. Baha'u'llah cannot come to us unless we open the way for him. This is a very basic principle. He says, love me that I may love thee. You see? Love me that I may love thee. If thou lovest me not, my love can in no wise reach thee. Know this, O servant. This is exact words of Baha'u'llah. Love me that I may love thee. If thou lovest me not, my love can in no wise reach thee. He doesn't say, if you don't love me, I don't love you. He says, if you don't love me, my love cannot reach you. If you have not switched on the light, he's telling us, the power cannot come through it. It's very simple. And so here is where we have to allow Baha'u'llah to come with us in all our activities, in all our services. No matter what it is we do, anything that a Baha'i does, if it wants to bring results and fruits, whether it is typing a letter, whether it is building a house for the faith, whether it is making a cup of tea in the kitchen, not until we are able to attract the power of Baha'u'llah to ourselves can it ever be effective. Now, I have no idea how long we can talk together, but I hope sometime we can talk about this, drawing from the power of Baha'u'llah. But if there is chance, we might talk about it. If there is not, you can read the writings. And when you read the writings, the answers are there. That and the only thing I would like to mention here is this, that no Baha'i can be successful in anything he's doing unless and until he has Baha'u'llah with him. And as I said, he cannot come to us just like this. We have to prepare the way for him. One has to read the writings in the morning and in the evening, you know. One has to say the obligatory prayers. One has to read the history of the faith, the history of his revelation. One has to draw closer to him. And then one has to serve the faith. Very important thing that we talked about it this morning. And one has to live the life so that he can come to us. But one thing that I must say here now, and this is important, and please don't forget this point. This is a very important point. God, I mentioned the first day, is very forgiving. We must not think, oh, I can't do it, I have to do all these things, I have to read the writings, I have to say the prayers, I have to teach the faith, and if I don't do that, nothing will happen. I think in the writings, you can read it yourself, you take one little step forward in the right direction in any of these things, and God will come to you 1,000 yards forward. Once your heart is pure, and once your intentions is pure, then that is a beginning. And we must never become feeling frustrated, because Baha'u'llah looks upon our hearts, not upon your actions. This is another thing you must remember. He mentions himself, he says, how many a people who have been fasting day and night, or days and after days, but their fasting is not acceptable unto God, because probably there was not a little bit of impurities.